The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's shiur is the fifth in a series on Parashas Bereishis and the creation of the world. And incidentally, this will be the final one at this time. And next week's shiur, which will be the final one of this man, because the yeshiva adjourns at the end of next week, will be on Parshas Neach, as we mentioned before, because these two sedras always manage to get left out of the cycle of shiurim. On this week's shiur, we're going to deal with the Briyas HaOdom, creation of man. In the previous four, we dealt with the creation of the world during the first 6 days, up to the creation of man. Now, there are many things that we find very unique and different regarding the creation of man compared to all of the other creations. Firstly, he was created on the sixth day, right before Shabbos. When I say right before Shabbos, I mean on the sixth day, right before the seventh day. But he was created after all of the other creations. Achar behema chaya v'eifed ogim. We learned that on the fifth day, the fish and the birds were created, and on the sixth day, first the animals, domesticated animal and wild animals created, and then was man. And we do not find explicitly in the Sefer Torah that anything else was created after man. He was at the end. And actually, the Medrash tells us this. Rashi brings it in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. By the beginning of Parshas Tazria, by Yikra Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis. There, it states that after the Torah has, in the previous Parshas of Shmini, given us the laws regarding the tumah, the impurities, and the purities of the various animals, and the chayas, and the oaf, there, then it starts to tell us, Daber al b'nei Yisrael emor, isho kis azriya. B'yol d'zocha, that if a woman gives birth, so what is the law regarding to her? Omer b'sabloi, k'shem sh'yitzirose shal odemacha kol behema chaye v'ev b'maisa b'reishis. Just like we find that the creation of man is after the creation of all other living beings, kach teirosin isparsha achateiris behema chaye v'ev. So do we find that the Torah, the laws pertaining to man, are taught after the laws which pertain to the other animals and the other living beings. So here we see that Chazal take note that man was created by Achreino. And this is one unique feature that needs explanation. We started to touch on this point and a few of these other points at the end of last week's shiur. A second point. It says in our parsha, Bereishis Aleph Posuk Chof Zayin, Vayivra Lekim Es Odem B'Tzalmai. B'tzelem Elekim Bora Eisei. Kodesh Baruch Hu created man in his image. In his image he created him. This is the Tzelem Elekim. We do not find that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Tzelem Elekim his image to any other living creature outside of man. Another unique feature. Another point. Vayivorech Eisam, a Kodesh Baruch Hu blessed him. Peru urvu, be fruitful and multiply, umilu es ha'oretz, fill up the land, v'kiv shuho, and conquer it, urdu b'digas ha'yom v'eif ha'shamayim, and you shall go and rule over all of the fish of the sea, and the birds of the heaven, v'chol chayo remes al ha'oretz, and all of the animals which creep on the earth. Here we see man was given dominion. He was given shilton. He was to be the ruler of the world. So another unique feature. A little later, in Posuk Zayin, Bereshis Beis Posuk Zayin, it states, Vayitzara Hashem Elokim Eso Odom Ofer Min Adama, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man from the dust of the earth. Now the word Vayitzer, there it is written with two yuds. Even though the actual word Yotzar has only one yud, there it is written with two yuds. And a little further in Pasuk Yutes, it states, Vayitza Hashem Elokim min Adama kol chayas hasodeh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the animals, all of the animals. There it states, Vayitzer, with one yud, as it's supposed to be written. An extra yud. In the creation of man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed an extra yud in the word creation. Another unique feature which needs explanation. And finally, in that posuk, it states, "Ofer min Adama, vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim." Man was created from the earth, the dust of the earth, and Hashem blew into his nostrils a living soul. So we see he was created both min hatachtenim u min ha'elyonim. This is both from the lower world and the upper world. Dust from the earth and a spirit, a breath, vayipach ba'apov, from Hashem. He was created min ha'tachtenim u min ha'elyonim. And this we do not find explicitly by any other of the creations. So these are unique points that we find in the creation of man that we do not find in other creations. And this evening, let's try to see what we can learn from this. The reason why man was created last, after all of the other creations, is because man was the ultimate purpose of creation. When you make something, your purpose is only achieved at the completion. You don't start with the final purpose. To the contrary, you start with everything which is needed for the final purpose. But the final purpose, the tachlis, is besef, at the end. For example, you build a house, or you build an office building. It doesn't become an office building till the end. What you start is by digging. You dig foundations, you lay pipes, you bring in water, you bring in electricity. The goal is only achieved at the very end. And the goal of the creation of the world, as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned, was not the heavens, not the earth, not the sea. It was not the animals. It was not the birds. It was not the fish. It was man. And therefore, man was created b'achreina. He was created at the end. And k'shem shi'yitzirosein b'seifei b'achreina kach torasa nisparshu b'achreina. The Torah are the laws which go hand in hand for every part of creation. And that's also a part of part and parcel of creation. And since man was created in the end, as this was the ultimate purpose, so was his Torah. His laws were given at the end. And this is why in Parshas Metzorah, the Parshas Tazria, the laws pertaining to man were given after the laws pertaining to animals and other creations. And this is why he was given Shilton. This is why he was given dominion. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose was that man shall be king. Melech HaTachton, king of this world. He is the goal, the purpose, and therefore he was given dominion. And therefore he was told, you shall rule over the entire world, over all of the fish of the sea, and over all of the birds of the heaven, and all of the animals. And in the pasuk that we quoted, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min Adama kol chayas hasodeh, that Hashem made Now, the simple text of Vayitzer means he made, he formed. And then he brought Vayove Elo Odom Lirais Mayikrale. He brought all of the animals, Hashem, and all of the birds, everything, all living creations, he brought to man to give them names. And whatever name man will give him, that will be his name. So Rashi brings from the Medrash that Vayitzer here means something else also. It means from the word to be captured. Like we find Kisotzor Alayir, when you go and lay siege against a city, as we find in the end of Parshas Shoftim. He Kofshon Tachash Yodai. Hashem collected all of the living creations and he put them all under the hand of man in order that they should realize who is the master and who is the servant. And Vayikrale, and he told man to give them names, and whatever name he will give them, that shall be the name. Because man is the king, man is the master. Who gives out the names? The master gives out the names. Not that animals will give names to themselves, and not that they will give names to other species or to man, but man will give names to them. We mentioned that the name that he gave was a Shema Etzem. He looked into the nature, into the deep nature of each living being, and he gave that living being, that life, a name which was descriptive of his nature. This is why we find that in Posuk Hey, it states, after Hashem created the world, Ela told the Shemaim Voriz Bivorom, V'chol Siyeh Hasode Terem Yeva Oretz, V'chol Esev Hasode Terem Yitzmoch, that the earth was full of trees and it was full of grass, but nothing had grown yet. What does it mean it was full of trees and grass but nothing had grown? It came to the opening of the earth and it stood and it stayed there. Nothing grew. Why? Because Hashem had not brought rain yet. Why did Hashem bring rain? Because there was no man to work the land. So Chazal explained, because the whole purpose of creation was for man. And as long as man wasn't there yet, even though these Nivroim, these creations were from before, a few days yet before, but as long as man wasn't there, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't activate the world yet. There was no rain. There was no purpose for the rain. Because there was no purpose for growth. Because there was no man. So the world was stagnant. It was in a state of motionlessness. Because Odem Ayin, there was no man. La'avedis Adam. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, now he said, I can bring the rains. Now I can activate the world. And then the Chazal go further. Why? Because now man can see the need for the rains, and he can pray for the rains, and he can recognize where they're coming from and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here also, we see, without man, there was no world. If there's a man, then there's a necessity for the world. Ein kan Adam, if there's no man, then there's no necessity for the world. So therefore, everything was stationary until man came into being. And this is what the Chazal tell us. Chayav Adam Leimer. Man is obligated to say, Le Nivra Kol Ha'Elam Kulei Ela Bishvili. That the whole world was created only for me. Not from one aspect. This is arrogance. And our sages tell us man must be very careful not to become arrogant. But from the other aspect, he must see the reality. This whole world that we have, all of these worlds. We mentioned that there were three worlds created. There was the earthly world, there was a middle world, and a higher world. All of these worlds were only created for one purpose, and that was for man. And this is a reality, and man must see it. Otherwise, he doesn't realize his task in this world. He doesn't realize who he is. and what he's here for. And there, and this we mentioned at the end of last week's shir, is this concept that the whole world was for him, and he's given dominion over the world, and he's responsible only to one force, this is Hashem. To the Jew, this is a simple concept. Man is a king. To the non-Jew, this is from the most difficult concepts. We mentioned that in ecology, in conservation, this is what they call the Judo-Christian concept. That man has the right to take from the earth, to take from the sea, to kill animals for himself. It's called the Judo-Christian because Christianity is built on the Bible, and it's taken from these psukim. But not all nations agreed to this. Many, many nations worshipped animals. Many animals were sacred and they weren't allowed to use it. They worshipped fire, they worshipped mountains, they worshipped the water, whatever it might be. And this is Aveda Zora, this is idolatry. If we view the forces of nature which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created as totally independent forces, then we must serve them. We can't exploit them, we cannot utilize them for human needs. If we view that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only force in the world, and everything else that he created was l'shamesh es ha'odom, was only to serve man, HaKol Nivra Bishvili. So all of these forces were given to man to utilize. And he must utilize them. To the Jew, this is a simple concept. To other nations, not so. It's a great discussion. Another simple concept to the Jew, that man is the Nivchor of the Nivroim. He is the par excellence of creation. Everything else was created for him. Not so simple to the nations of the world, to the scientists of the world. The last 100 years we saw were a great deal of science. They went crazy with Darwin's theory that man is no different than any other animal that was created. He's merely an evolution of the animal kingdom. He's a higher intelligence, a higher being, but merely another animal of creation. The motivation of that theory, a very strong motivation was kfira, to deny what states in the Bible. And it's been fallen to pieces because scientifically it holds no water. Except there's still schools that put it in the textbooks as if it's a matter of fact. But in the eyes of the Torah, man is hardly an animal or an ape. Hardly so, as we see. But all of this that we're speaking about, when is this? This, the Gemara tells us, this is when he's Eser Etzein Shel Mokom. When he is this king? He's this king when he fulfills the intention of the creation and of the Creator. When he serves the Almighty. Rashi brings in the Posuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said V'yirdu b'degas hayom, that let him go and rule over even the fish of the sea. So Rashi brings b'loshen zeh, yesh b'loshen zeh loshen ridi loshen yirida. There are two implications in this word. One is to rule and one is to fall, from the word yorud. Zocho, if he'll fulfill his task which he was placed in this world for, then he will be a ruler. Le zocho, he'll be a Yerud. If he does not fulfill the task he was placed in this world for, then he will fall. He will fall to the furthest depths. V'abhemus meshelas alov, and animals will rule over him. He was placed in this world to be a master and to serve the Almighty. Serve him, then he'll be king. Rebel against him, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make him lower than even all of the animals. The Chazal tell us, man has to, just like he has to tell himself, HaKol Nivral Bishvili, that everything was created for me, for myself, he also has to tell himself that if you do not fulfill the will of the Hashem, then Afilu Yitesh, even a fly is better than you. A simple fly is better than you. Kibbehema, an animal is better than you. Why? Because a fly does what he's created for. An animal does what he's created for. While you not. This is what the Gemara tells us in Brochus. The Gemara says, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, Vo'oretz Nosan Livnei Adam. The heavens belong to Hashem, and the land he gave to people. Kan Kedem HaBrocho, Kan Achra HaBrocho. There's another pasuk that states that everything belongs to Hashem. Everything belongs to Hashem, but he gave it to mankind to make a brocha on it. They can utilize it for themselves. If they make a brocha, if they praise Hashem. He was put in this world to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no man to recognize the goodness of Hashem, it states. So he placed him in the world to recognize his goodness and to serve him. If he will recognize his goodness and if he will serve him, then the world was given to him. This means he can take anything from the world, but he has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. He has to use it to serve Hashem. If he takes it without this brocha, then he is rebelling against what Hashem's world, and he's a thief. This is the secret of ecology. If we would follow this formula, there wouldn't be any problems in ecology. We gave a shiur not long ago on ecology. The whole problems of the destruction of the resources of the world is man's greed and exploitation. They take for themselves. If they would utilize everything the way it was supposed to be utilized, if they would utilize it, the Kovet Shemayim, in order to build a better world in honor of Hashem, then we wouldn't have problems with exploitation. It's because of man's greed where he wants to use it for his own selfish purposes. And then we have a world that is in a state of what it is today. And therefore the man has to be at a level. We find something interesting, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you shall rule over everything, to Adam HaRishon now was not granted permission to kill any creation. He was given permission to eat from all of the vegetation, but not to kill any creation. That was only given 10 generations later, after the flood, to Noah. And why? The Maral explains, because to be a king, you have to be well above your subjects. To be able to consume for your purposes, then you have to be well above that what you're consuming. How great the first man was, he had not yet reached the level where it justified him destroying other life for himself. That came later. That came in the generation of Noah. Then man was granted permission to destroy other life of animal and fish for himself. So we see that in order to do this, though, a person has to be at a level. It has to be justified. In other words, it's justified to take a minor creation if it's serving a greater creation. But if the so-called greater creation is not greater, then it's not justified. And that's what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us in Psochim and Afnun, it says that Amor, it's also lechel boser. A boor a barren person who has no Torah in him. He has no Derech Eretz in him. Theoretically, he's not permitted to eat meat. Theoretically, he wouldn't be allowed to kill to eat meat. What's his justification? If he's an Amoritz, if he's a barren person, that's a person without Torah and without Derech Eretz. So why is he any better than the Behemah? The Gemara says a person without Derech Eretz, the Gemara says, Kikelev dobe. He's like a kelev. So why is he any better than the animal? What's his justification to kill an animal for his life? So therefore, a man was given dominion. But this was where he lived up to this dominion. Otherwise, he's a yorud, otherwise he falls. For this reason now, he was created as a much greater entity than all of the other creations during the 6 days of the Maase Bereishis. For example, in this posuk that we quoted, it states, "Vayitzar Hashem Elokim as Adam Ofer min Adoma." He was created dust from the earth. "Vayipach Bapov Nishmas Chayim," and Hashem blew into his nostrils a breath from above. So Rashi brings, "Min haTachtovim uMin haElyonim." We had some creations that were created just from above. Like he says, on the first day was created heavens from above and the earth from below. Some creations just from below. Man was created. The man is the only creation that explicitly states he was created from all the worlds. Min ha-tachtonim, from the lower world, to min ha-eljainim, and from the higher worlds. So here we see he was a much greater creation. Because of this, he encompasses all worlds. All worlds. All of the worlds that was created, he encompasses. The Gemara brings him a Masechta Chagiga. The Yud Beis. This is a pasuk in Vayeschanan. In Parashas Vayeschanan, which is the volume Dalet Pasuk Lamed Beis. Kishol now leyomim rishenim ashehoyu lefanecha lemin hayeim ashebore lekim odem ala oretz. From the day which Hashem created man on the earth, ulimiksei hashomayim v'yatzksei hashomayim, from one end of the heavens to the other end of the heavens. What does this mean? From the day which Hashem created man on the earth, from one end of the heavens to the other. Rashi brings. Moran Chagiga says, Omer Blazer, Adam Arishin mino Oretz Adler Rekia. First man, when he was created physically, so big that when he stood, his feet were on the ground and his heads went into the heaven. Shnema, as it states, min Kseya Shomayim at Kseya Shomayim, from one end of the heavens to the other. But we don't see that man is so large today. Kiven shesorach hiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodav olav umiyate. Once he sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his hand on his head and made him shorter. Then Rav says, Omer Yiro Marav, Adam Arishin mi seifa elam vaat seifa hoyo. From this pasuk, he was from one end of the world to the other. Rashi explains, Kishoye Sheikhev, when he would lay down to sleep, Hoyareshe Lemizrach, Veragla Lemarav. His head would go all the way to the east, and his feet all the way to the west. But once he sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his hand on his head, Umiyato, and he made him shorter. Now why was man like that? Because if man was created from all of the worlds, that even physically he encompassed all of the worlds. We find, and he encompassed everything on the earth. It states, this is what is meant when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and brought all of the animals to him. and all living creatures, v'kof shem tachas yodai, he put them all under his hand. He encompassed all of the animals. What does this mean? So they explain as follows. When he was created, he was given all of the powers which Hashem had given all of the animals. For example, we find by Yaakov Avinu, when he blessed his children, he gave Yehuda the strength of the lion. He gave Naphtali the speed of the deer. He gave Binyamin the power of the zev, of the wolf, and so forth. What does that mean? We find the Mishnah Masechta Ovis. It says that a person having askenomen, a person should have the courage of a leopard. Bekal kinesher, he should be as light as an eagle. The eagle flies the highest of all of the birds. Rotz kitzvi, he should be as quick as the deer. Gibor ki'ari, he should be as strong as the lion. What does this mean? That these powers that were given to these animals, man encompasses. Cannot be that they have them and man doesn't have them. Because man was kel hakol, was created from everything. Man has them. Except they take the form of such a power in a man. The lion has it in the primary primitive state of raw physical force. Man has it in the state of a man, where he has the strength of determination, where he has the courage of a leopard, where he can forge ahead under all obstacles, and so forth and so on. He encompassed everything. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in a Sefer HaNefesh Chayim, writes that since man was made from everything, min ha'elyonim min ha'tachtonim, therefore whatever he does in this world, doesn't only make a reshim, doesn't only affect this world. It affects the elyonim also. It affects all of the forces on high also. Because these are not out of reach of man. Because he was made from them. All of his acts, all of his words, and all of his thoughts make strong imprints, not only in the Olam HaTachton in this world, but also on the Olam HaElyon and the higher worlds. Bein l'tev, bein l'ra. For good or for evil. Man is capable of building this world and building the upper worlds. He's capable of destroying this world and destroying upper worlds. This is what is meant, that man was made min ha'elyonim u'min ha'tachtonim. He encompassed everything, and that's why he was created even physically at that size. And we gave a shir not long ago, we were brought from the Maral, that he was given the qualities of this world, he was given the qualities of the middle world. Middle world we brought in one of the previous shurim, that was from the Rambam, the Olam Emtzoi, that's the celestial world, sun, the moon, the planets, and he was given qualities even from the upper world. So this is what is meant by offer min ha'adama, dust from the earth, v'yipach be'apo, v'korish bochu, blew in his nostrils. Nishmas Chaim. It says, Man de Nofach, the one who blew from himself. That Nishmas Chaim came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself and went into man. Then we asked, why does it have two yuds? When it came to the creation of behemoths, it says, Vayitzar with one yud. That's how Yotzar should be written. When it came to man, there are two yuds. So Rashi says as follows. Shtei Yetziras. Two yuds, because there were two creations. When Hashem created man, it was a double creation. Yetzira le'lamazev, Yetzira le'tchias hamesim. He gave man two lives. A life for this world, and after he dies in this world, man relives again in the next world. Where does that life come from? In the beginning of creation, he gave man two lives. A life that will sustain him in this world, and when he dies, afterwards he will stand up again and live in the next world that also was created now. So therefore, Yitza Shnei Yudin, two Yuds, two Yitziris. One for this world and one for the next world. And this is the Yud that we spoke about, because the Yud is what Hashem created the world to come with. He gave him a life which would, it was an extra Yud. He gave him a life where he'll be able to live in the next world. That's man. Aval bebehema, she'ena emedes ledin. But when it comes to an animal, that is not a emedes ledin. What does it mean? In a emedes ledin, he is not judged. Therefore, le'nichta b'yitzira shnei yudin, b'yitzirose shnei yudin. Therefore, he was not created with two yuds, only one yud. What does it mean? He is not judged. Why is man given two lives? This is very important. Why is man given two lives? Because he was placed in this world to be judged. The next life is all in accordance to what he does in this life. If he's judged favorably, he achieved in this world what he was supposed to in this life, then he gets another life. If he's not judged favorably, he did not achieve in this world what he's supposed to, then he has no next life. So therefore he was given the potential for two lives, two creations. An animal is not judged. An animal is made for this world. He doesn't come to the Beis Din Shel Malo, to the holy courts. So therefore there was no purpose for him to be given two nefoshes, two lives. This is how the Maral explains the Gemara Masechet Nidon Daf Lamed. The Gemara says that when the embryo is in the womb of the mother, what is the child like? The child is doubled over. He's folded over. He's on his knees, and his knees are pulled up close to his chest, and his heels come up under his bottom, and he's doubled over. And it says that he looks like a pinkas. A pinkas is like a luach, a ledger book. He looks like a ledger book. He's doubled over like a book. So he asks why. This is because man was created in this world to be a ledger book. Shekol ma'aseho nichtovim ba'sefer. Ba'sefer nichtovim. Man comes into this world for one purpose. That all his acts should be written. He says his whole world, it's all a matter of accountancy. What you owe Hashem and what Hashem owes you. Just like you're running a business. So you have to know what you owe your customers and what your customers owe you. This world is to know what you owe Hashem and what Hashem owes you. That's what it says all the time. Yoreishim elekecha ani Hashem. You should fear Hashem because I am Hashem. Nemon l'shalem. You can trust me, I will pay. What I owe, I will pay. And what is owed to me, I will extract. Where is it all written? It says, B'sefer Nichtovim. It's not written on the books by Hashem. It's written in the soul of man. That's where it's written. It's written right on man. Therefore, right at the beginning of his creation, he is folded over, kipinkos, like a ledger book. Because he was created to be Eben Bedin. He was created for judgment. Now, we come to another unique aspect. And that's what's stated by Yivar Elohim Asodim B'Tzalmai. B'Tzalam Elohim Borei Son. Hashem created man in his image. That's something even more now. What does it mean, his image? Firstly, we have to realize how unique this is. The Mishnah Masechta Ovis, Perigimel Mishnah Yud Ches, Hu Haya Emer. He said, Rabbi Kiva said, Choviv Odom, how endeared is man to Hashem, Shenivra Betzalah, because he was created in his image. Chibi Yeseira Neidasle, special closeness was given to man, Shenivra Betzalah Melekim, who was created in his image. Shenemar, as it states, Ki Betzalah Melekim also Odom. Only man, again, see, you see how far the Torah is from Darwin. Only man was given the Tzelem Elohim, the image of Hashem. Of all of the other countless multitude of creations in the world, there are fish in the sea that you can't count, animals, chayos, insects. Chiba Yesera, a special endearment and closeness was given to man, because only he was created with Tzelem Elohim in the image of Hashem. And this image was given to all of mankind. But the greatest, a particular great portion of this image was given to Yisrael. Chaviv in Yisrael. And shenikru bonim, chibe yisera neides lem shenikru bonim lamokum shenema bonim atem l'Hashem alakeichem. To Israel, who were called bonim, sons to Hashem. So Israel was given an extra portion of the tzelem of the image of Hashem, and therefore they're called bonim. And chaviv in Israel shenitan lem klichendo. And how endeared is Israel? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them his most precious commodity, the Torah, as it states, Ki lekach tev nosati lochem torosi al tazov. Now, what is this image? We've given shurim on this point alone, which are available on the tapes, but we'll very concisely mention a few points. The image of Hashem, how are we to understand it? Because it states that Hashem has no image. He's not physical. He has no image, he has no physical measurements, he has no limitations. So brought the Maral explains as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has attributes, he has miles. He has wonderful, wonderful qualities. We are commanded to emulate those qualities. Those qualities are totally bilti gashmi. They're separated from anything that's physical, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. But what he did is he took those qualities of himself and he gave them to man. But he cast them. When he gave them to man, he cast these abstract, non-physical qualities into a proper physical mold, which would fit man. So therefore, the physical image of man is based on the non-physical qualities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll give you an example. We can have theoretical concepts, and then we can draw physical pictures of them. For example, if you tell a child happiness, draw a picture of happiness. Now, happiness is a non-physical concept. How can you draw a picture of happiness? You'll draw a picture of someone smiling. Or if you tell a child light is something which is non-physical. He'll draw a picture of the sun. What is he doing? He's taking a non-physical concept and putting it in its proper physical manifestation. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. He took the qualities from himself, his own qualities. He blew into his nostrils from him, into man's nostrils from himself. He took these non-physical qualities, but he cast it in a physical form for man on this world. Where do we see this? One place we see it is because one would say that the 600, man's physical form, his physical physique, one would say is purely physical. It has nothing to do with spiritual. Maybe he was given a spirit, but the physical form houses the spirit, but the physical physique itself has nothing to do with the spirit. Not so. The Torah tells us that man was given 613 parts, which correlate exactly with 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. States he was given Resh Mem Ches, 248 organs, which correlate exactly to 248 mitzvahs, Aseh's positive commandments, each organ to a particular mitzvah. Shasa, 365 ginin, 365 different parts of muscles and tendons, which correlate exactly to 365 negative commandments. Another example, Kodesh Baruch Hu has the quality of Malchus. He is the king. Hashem Moach, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch. He is the king. He has reigned. He will reign forever. This quality of Malchus, of kingship, he wanted to give to man. If you ask a child, draw a picture of a king, what would he do? He'll draw a picture of someone who's big and strong and upright. Now ask a little child, draw a picture of a servant. You draw a picture of someone who's bowing down. Why is it? It's not by coincidence that man was created upright and all other creations were created where they could not stand upright. There's no other creation that can stand upright. They fall if they stand upright. We find, interestingly, the ape. Ape is the highest of the animal creations. And his Hebrew name is Kof. Kof means, the Gemara says, Kof means to try to copy, to emulate. He's always trying to stand upright when he falls, because he's trying to copy man. But only man was given that. In the beginning of creation, it states the serpent also, but that's a whole story, another story. But man was given. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the mile of Malchus, of kingship, and that all other life should be his servant. And this is what is meant. Where does Malchus come from? Malchus comes from the image of Hashem. And this is what is meant. He created him in his image. Or, man is straight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu midosei emes, chesomei emes. The seal of Hashem is truth. He wanted to give that virtue to man. And he cast his physical image in that way. So he was created straight. These are a few examples. Then, there's another aspect of the Tzelem Elokim. And that is, Kodesh Baruch Hu is bilti guf gevir. He has no physical form. What is it? If we have any way of expressing a description of Hashem, it would be that he's kula or, he's light. Not a physical light, but a spiritual light. Even though the physical light is the most spiritual of all of the physical entities in the world, but he's like a spiritual light. Where do we find this? We find this is what the Torah is called, his Torah. Torah or. The Torah is an or. See? Torah is a light. Not a physical light, it's a spiritual light. When a person studies Torah, until then he was a ksil b'cheshech. He was a fool walking in darkness. It says it's machkim espesu. It brings wisdom to the fool. He was a fool walking in darkness. All of a sudden, in machkim espesu, there's light. He can see. It states, for example, the Oren HaKodesh, the Oren, the Ark, where the Sefer Torah was kept, and the tablets were kept in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Why was it called Oren? Hashem Or, from the word light, because it was kul or, there was only light there. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, we would have no other way to describe him, as just as a spiritual light. This Ziv, this Ziv, a radiance, this radiance it states he gave to his creatures. We find wherever he gave a life, there's radiance. Even at the lowest levels, animals also, there's a radiance. But a great portion of this he gave to man. And he gave it to him in a physical form, where there's a physical radiance. And this also is the Tzelem Elokim. It's interesting, because when man is born, immediately there's a physical radiance that comes from the child. When man dies, when the soul leaves, immediately there's a deathly paleness that covers man. Because when the soul leaves, the tzelem, the image, leaves. And the light, the radiance leaves. You'll never find that radiance by someone who's not alive, and you'll always find it by someone who is. And there's a few Gemaras. The Gemara brings, because man was given the tzelem, therefore he's the king, and everyone's afraid of him. It states, Tinek ben Yumai, a child, as soon as he's born, Ein Tzorek Shmir Mina Achborim, doesn't need to be watched from the rodents. They're afraid of him. But Eig Melech HaBoshon, the greatest giant, Kivin Shemes, once he dies, Tzorek Shmir Mina Achborim, you have to watch him from the rodents. They're no longer afraid of him. Or the Gemara brings, Gemara states, Kivan shenitztarech odem lebriyos ponim mishtanim. When a man is in a situation where he has to go to someone else and ask him for panosa, he has to ask him for money or for food, ponim mishtanim. He says, we see the radiance of his face changes. It becomes pale. Why? Because his malchus has fallen. His kingship has fallen. A king is someone who gives to others, doesn't take. When man is put in a situation where he's got to come unto others to take from them, pon of mishtanim, a paleness comes over him. This is a weakness in the Tzelem Elokim. It states, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov had beautiful radiance. Last week, Sandra, we learned his image was hewed out on the throne of Hashem. And it says, Shufa the Yaakov, King Shufa the Odom. His radiance was like the radiance of Odom Arishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with his own hands. Then there's the Gemara in Baba Basra, one of the Amoraim were going to look into the cave of Machpelah. He wanted to see the body of Odom Arishon, of the first man. And he said, Niskalti, Niskakalti, I gazed at his two heels. And the light was so bright that it was Kishnei Galgalge Cham, like two balls of the sun. The heel is the darkest place of man. The main radiance is on his face. This was the light that he gave to Odom Arishon. Now this is man. Now we'll go to a further point. And that's where it states, Mina Elyonim or Mina Tachteinim. Rashi says as follows. And the Pasuk of Zayin, Vayitza Hashem Elokim Esa Odom Ofer Min Adoma, Vayipach Bapav Nishmas Chaim. So Rashi explains as follows. He says, Oso Min Atachteinim Min Elyonim. Man was made from the lower world and from the upper world. Guf Min Atachtonim, a physical body from the lower world, Unishama, and a soul from the upper world. He says, why was man made from both? Because on the first day, Hashem made heavens from above and earth from below. The second day, he made a rakia, a sky, an atmosphere above. On the third day, he said, let the earth be shown. So that was from below. Birvi, on the fourth day, he created the Oris, the sun, and the moon. On the fifth day, he created the fish from the sea. So now everything was even. Everything was even. On the first day he created both from the upper and the lower world. And then on the second, third, fourth and fifth day, so there was two from the upper and two from the lower. So it was three and three. Everything was even. Now comes the sixth day. He says, if I'll create man from the Elyonim, from the upper worlds, then the upper worlds have more. If I'll create him from the lower worlds, then the lower worlds will have more. Yesh kino b'maisa b'reishis. There'll be kino, there'll be jealousy between the creations. She'elu rabi ma'elu. One will be more than the other. Therefore, he created man mina elyonim u'mina tachtonim, from the upper worlds and from the lower worlds. Now, firstly, what we must understand is this, that man is created from the upper and the lower worlds. And through this creation, it gives him a goof, it gives him a physical body, it gives him a nefesh. The nefesh is this life force and all of the emotional forces, and it gives them then an intellect and a seichel and a spirit. This all becomes one. All becomes one. The fact is, when in the Torah it says, the nefesh chaya became a nefesh chaya, Unkele says, and Rashi brings, Dibur Vedeo, he could speak now, but we don't find any other place. Or he has this intellect. That's the mezik. That's the meshing of all of this. But we have a question. What does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worrying that there will be one more in the lower world, there will be one more in the upper world, so what? So what? And there will be kina, there will be jealousy. First of all, and if there is jealousy. And secondly, what does it mean, jealousy? How can there be jealousy? The heaven was inanimate, the earth is inanimate. So what does it mean, jealousy? So the Maral in his Gur Ayah explains as follows. Whenever we say that there will be kino, there will be jealousy, the things that are inanimate, what it means is there will be imbalance. It will not be perfect. There'll be imbalance and there'll be piru, there'll be separation. By us, human emotions, so we have the emotions of kino, and that's what's, and that comes from an imbalance, it causes an imbalance and causes a separation. But by the Shemaim Va'oretz, it means that there'll be separation, there'll be imbalance. It will be diversified. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echot, he's one. And everything, Shimcha Echot, his name is one. And everything that he creates is one. He's one. He's the Melech HaLakol. So how can he create something which will have dissent in it? Which will separate? He wasn't interested in creating an upper world and a lower world. He was interested in creating one world. So he had to tie them together. And he had to make from all of the worlds one world. How could he do this? This is something very, very unique. And here you see how far the scientists are with Darwin's theory. He created man who will be the me'achid, who will join all the worlds together. Man will be created from all of the worlds in one place. And therefore he will be the creation that will be me'achid the bria. He will join all of the worlds together. This the Maral says in his Gur Ayah, and he brings from the Rambam in the Sefer HaMeirah. this is man's unique position. He created from the upper worlds. He created from the lower worlds. He created fish from the lower worlds. He created the sky from the upper worlds. But each was going in its own direction. Where is that Kaya Hakishwar? Where is that power to unite? This is what he said will make man. Will make him from all of the worlds. And he will hold the universe together. Now, man, this means, is not made up of sections. He's not sectionalized. But he's one. This means as follows. Many times we think there's things that affect the spirit, things that affect the emotions, things that affect the physical man. Not true. It's not true. There is nothing that can affect the spirit that will not affect every part of man. There is nothing that can affect the emotions that will not affect every part of man. And there is nothing that will affect the physical man that will not affect every part of man. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make man of three sections. He made him of one. And every cell in man, not every organ in man, but every cell in man is a total, complete harmony and balance and mixture of all of the worlds. Science is finding this out more and more all of the time. But we have simple examples on it. A simple example would be if a man doesn't eat or drink. Alright, that's physical. What happens? There's Yetzias and Neshama. Eventually he'll drive his soul from his body. The fact that the soul leaves the body, that's spiritual. But if he doesn't eat or drink physically, he can drive the soul from the body. If he drives the soul from the body, he dies physically and spiritually. Or vice versa. Or for example, a man becomes emotionally inspired. He feels physically stronger. He becomes mentally stimulated. He feels physically stronger. He doesn't eat or drink. He can't study Torah. But the study of Torah is mental. The study of Torah is spiritual. The eating or drinking is physically. Fact is, we brought many times in Shulchan Aruch, it states that when we make a brocha, she yotzer es adam bechokhma, which is a brocha on the whole digestive system of man, so we say, Mafli Alasoi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done such great wonders. What are the wonders that we're referring to? So it says, what the wonders we're referring to is not that the physical food sustains physical man. The wonders that we are referring to, that the physical food sustains spiritual man. Because when man eats physically, all right, that we can understand. With enough wisdom, we can understand why he becomes physically strong. But why does he become spiritually strong? If he fasts, all of a sudden his mind starts to become distorted. All of a sudden he doesn't understand. The Rambam writes that Efshe Laved Hashem Behu Ka'ev Be'Ever Echod. It's impossible to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally, and he's got something wrong with one limb of his body. And today, all of the time now, every day now, science is finding more and more how the things that they did not, were not acceptable before. How emotional stress causes physical diseases. Major diseases such as heart or hypertension or cancer, and so forth and so on. They're related now to emotional stress, even though there's nothing physical. And so on and so on. Or how many times they're finding now that diseases that were emotional or mental, many times are chemical problems, physical chemical imbalances. It's impossible that one shouldn't affect the other. The chokhmah, the wisdom is to find the origin. What's the origin? But once it's there, one affects the other. Bein l'te, bein l'ra. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man. He's inseparable. And every area is affected by every other area. Now, not only is he echod, is he one in himself, but he's ma'ached, he unites the entire universe. This is the key role that man plays. With this, we understand another point, which is very interesting. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, B'Tzelem Elokim, Zohar Nekeva Bareisa. He created him male and female. The Gemara and the Medrash goes through a whole discussion. It says first he created the male and female. Then later on it says that he put Adam to sleep and he took a rib or a side of him and he made a female. So it implies that female was only made later. Here it says he created them both together right away. So basically everyone is in agreement in the Medrash and in the Gemara that male and female were created together. When man was created, he was created male and female. Except later, he separated them. Either they were male and female totally, they were two du-patsufim, which means that they were male and female, but they were joined together physically, and later he separated them. Or he made female from a part of man. But that he made female from was from part of man who was created together with that potential. So this everybody's in agreement to. So we have a question. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the end wanted them to be two separate entities, so why did he make them together? Why didn't he make them two separate entities to begin with? If he wanted them to be one entity, what did he separate them later for? It's a question. So the Vilna Gaon says that the reason why there had to be two entities is because one was supposed to be an Ezer for the other. One was supposed to be a helper for the other, Ezer Kenegdoi. Ve'in chovush mater es atzmoi. A person can't help himself. So you have to be another entity. That's why in the end there had to be two entities. If we go a little deeper into this, Rashi on that posuk of Eser Ezer leitei v'yesel odem levadoi, that is not good for man to be alone, I will make an Ezer. So Rashi brings the Chazal Leitov, it's not good for a man to be Yochid alone, because I am the Yochid. I am the only Yochid. Therefore it's not good for a man to be alone, which means the king is always alone. Someone who has two, that means he needs two. If there's a pair, that means they need each other, which means that each one in his own right is not the ultimate independent king. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it was not good for a man to be alone, because then he looks like he's the master of the universe. The master, the boss, is always the only one alone. The boss has no partner. And if man was alone, he'd look like the boss. And ani ha-yochid, I'm the boss, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Therefore, Esele Ezer Kenegdei, I will make him a helpmate where he has to have someone else. That's actually what the Gaon means, see? A helpmate was made and it couldn't be himself. So therefore, they had to be made two. But now the question is, so if they had to be made two, so why were they made one in the beginning? So the Gaon answers, because the Gemara says, Ishtei Kigufei, that the wife of a man is supposed to be like he himself. When they're reunited, they have to be so close where they're like one. Now, how can two become one? Two can only become one if they were one to begin with. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two he had to make, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one boss. So there had to be two. And he made them two in the beginning, so then they could never come together to be one. Two can't become one. Therefore he made them one to begin with, and he separated them and then brought them back together. Now they can reunite like one. the Maral in his Guraye goes a little further. It's actually a similar beer, but goes a little further. He says, we don't find this by any other of the creations. By all of the other creations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also created Zochav and Nekeva, male and female. But it wasn't with the whole business. It wasn't where he made them one and then separated them. He made them two to begin with. So why not by man also? He says, because the totality of man is only Zochav and Nekeva, like it states. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, Zochav and Nekeva Boreishon. The totality of man is Zochav and Nekeva. He says, if it's man's job in this world to unite the whole world, how is it possible that there should be division in he himself? Man was put in this world to be mekasher, to unite and encompass the whole world. So how is it possible that there should be division in he himself? On the other hand, he had to be two, because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be one. Therefore, he was created one to begin with, and then separated. But where there is that still that potential oneness, and now man Zochav in the Keva are Echor, and they can unite the entire world. So here we see this power of Ichud, this power of this oneness in man, where he encompasses the entire world. Now, from here we understand what the Chazal tell us in Ovis. In Sefer Ovis, the Mishnah tells us at the beginning of Perikei, Ba'asorim Amoriz Nivra Ilam, man was created. Ba'asorim Amoriz Nivra Ilam, man was created. Stephen, could perhaps close those windows? I think it's too drafty up there for them. Thank you, Stephen. Ba'asorim Amoriz Nivra Ilam. The world was created with 10 statements. If you go through the whole Sefer, the whole Ma'aseh Bereishis, we brought this in the first year. It states, Vayemar Hashem Yi Or, Hashem said, let there be light. Vayema Hashem Yikov HaMayim, Hashem said, let the water gather together in one place. Vayema Hashem Yirakiya, Hashem said, let there be a Rakiya. So, states 10 times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used 10 statements to create the world. The Gemara asks, it's not 10, if you count, there's only 9. So it says, Breishis Nami Maimrihi. When he says, Breishis Bore Elekiim, that also is a statement. So together there are 10. So Ba'asorim Amoriz Nivra Ilam. And we explained, Rashi tells us, and the Gemara tells us, that it states when he said, Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis HaShemayim Eis HaOretz, when Hashem created the world, as soon as he said Bereishis, everything was created. Kol Teilei Shemayim Ve'Oretz, everything that had to do with the heavens and the earth, everything was created. But later on, then he individually perfected each thing. So which means that there were 9 statements that dealt with individual creations, and 1 statement that was klali, bracious, that dealt with the entire creation. Now this is what the Mishnah tells us. Basora Maimor is Nivra Ilam. With ten statements he created the world. Why? So it says, in order to extract payment from the evil that destroy the world, and give sochotev, give reward to the tzaddikim, to the righteous, shemekayimin asaylam, that fulfill the world. The Maral and Ovis explains as follows. Why 10? Why do we need 10? He says he could have created the world in 1 statement. Why 10? 10 represents 2 concepts. One concept, it represents something which is Kodesh, something which is bilti gashmi, abstract from the physical. Because we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu His name is Yud. There's a Yud in his name. And with that he created the world to come. So, and also we find called Davish Bidusha. Whenever it comes to Davish Bidusha, you need a minion, you need 10 people. 10 represents something that's Kodesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to give a level of Kedusha, of the utmost Kedusha to the world. And therefore he used 10 statements to create the world. He didn't want to create it only with 1 or 2 statements. He wanted to give it a Madrega HaKedusha. That's one concept. There's a second concept in Yud. And that is Achdus. That is a concept of unity. Why? When we count 1, 2, 3, 4. So these are all protein. These are all entities which are not unified. 1 entity, 2 entities, 3 entities, 4 entities. The entities are units which are not unified. The maximal is 9. The maximum amount of unities which are not of entities which are not unified is 9. Cannot be more. 10, what is 10? 10 already is a unit, a total unit. See, the 10 comes along and unites them. Then we start over again. 11 means 10 and 1, 12 means 10 and 2, 10 and 3, 10 and 4, again to 19, 10 and 9, then 20 means 2 units of 10. And that's how mathematics is from beginning to end. From 1 to 100, from 100 to 1,000, and so forth and so on. So, all numbers are entities which are not unified. And the maximal amount is to 9. 10 is mechaber, 10 unites. And mathematics is something which is a chiyuv, it's a tevar, it's a natural science. This is not given over to man merely as an elective. This is a natural science. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose name is Yud, and he creates the world to come with Yud, is one. And that's what Yud represents. Yud 10 represents unity. When he created this world, he didn't want a world which disintegrates or travels in every direction. He didn't want a physical world. He didn't want a spiritual world. He didn't want a middle world. He wanted one. He wanted the perfect harmony between the physical and the spiritual and all forces of the world, the perfect harmony. So therefore, he created it in order to give the level of Kedusha. And the level of unity, he created it with 10 Mamorim. Now, very interesting. 9 Vayomers and 1 Bereishis. Each Vayomer was an entity which was not unified. Each Vayomer Hashem Yiror, let there be light. Yirokia, let there be the sky. These were all entities, creations that were not unified. Bereishis Nami Maimerhu. The Bereishis also is a unit, was a statement. That was HaKolel. That was the statement which encompassed everything. When he said Bereishis, everything was created. This is how he wanted the world. And this is what it says, to give, to extract payment from the wicked that destroy his world. Because we're not talking about something, we're not talking here about a little building. We're talking here about his wonderful world, to extract payment from the wicked that destroy his world, and to give reward to his righteous that fulfill the world. Now, there is the, with one thought, I want to finalize. This is very important. You have many ideologies. Unfortunately, not only outside of so-called Torah camps, but inside of Torah camps also. There are many ideologies as to how to look at the world. There are many, not only now, all through the generations, that were mamayas. They held that the world, this world, the physical world, is repulsive. This is both Jewish and non-Jewish. Held that this world is something we have to be in, but it's something not to desire at all. How can you desire gashmius? It's gashmius, it's physical. It's achilo, it's eating. It's shtia, it's drinking. It's vanity. It's kino, it's jealousy. It's taiva, it's desires. How can you desire such a world? This ideology drove many non-Jewish cults to idolatry, to Avodah Zarah. They left the world. They became monks. They went to monasteries. So forth and so on. But unfortunately, it seeped its way into so-called terror camps also. This is kfira. This is denial of Hashem. This ideology. Why? Because on every day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the physical world, and the Ma'aseh Bereishis is speaking basically of the physical world, Vayar Hashem Kitov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it was good. We mentioned in one of the earlier shurim that on the second day he didn't say Tov, so the third day he said Tov twice to make up for the second day, that every day should have Tov. And then after he finished the creation, what did he say? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Vayar Elokim es kol asher osa, v'hinei tov mi'od." Hashem saw everything that He made, and it's tov mi'od. It was very good. So how can we come along and say His world is not good when Kodesh Baruch Hu said every day was good, and at the end on the whole creation, not only did He say good, He said tov mi'od. And the Gemara says, "What does tov mean?" Gemara says, Tov is an adjective which refers to Hashem. Tov Hashem lakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to everyone. It says Tov is an adjective which refers to the Torah. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. Tov is an adjective which refers to Israel. It's an adjective which refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. When they looked at Moshe, they saw he was Tov. And the same Tov is used on the world. So how can anyone in their right minds come and reject the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said was Kitov? But at the same time, we do find many times that the Chazal or Sefer Keheles write to be Mamayas. They write against the world. Yeah. That means something else. Chalila, they should write against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. They mean something else. They mean that when you detach the world, if you take the physical world and you detach it, you make the kino bein ma'aseh bereishis, you make the imbalance, and you use the physical world merely to fill your desires, to fill your jealousies, to fill your quest for honors, and you detach the Olam HaTachtein from the Olam HaElyon, the lower world from the upper world, then it's a world to be mamayis. Then it's an Olam HaMos. Then it's a world to be rejected. If a world is only to eat and to drink, make a person sick. A person who comes into this world just to eat and drink whatever he wants to, he becomes a candidate for a heart attack or for cancer or for anything else. A person comes into this world just to build his own fortune and to amass wealth. What happens to it? Yes. Then it's a very bad world. But that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said by Yara Hashem Kitov. He was talking on the whole world that He created. We said He created the world with the Dalet and the Yud, and it became a Hay. He was speaking on the whole creation. When we detach it, then it states, "Hakina v'ataiva v'akovet meitzin osa odem min ha'olam." A person is merely motivated by his jealousies. He's motivated by his physical desires. He's motivated by his quest for honor. Then he drives himself out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and he helps destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world the same way. That's not what Hashem said, Kitov. Or, if you try to detach the spiritual world from the physical world, And a man wants to become a malach, he wants to become an angel. And he's not going to eat, and he's not going to drink. And he's not going to do this or that. That's what the Rambam writes. He says, then a person will never be born a bayis, he'll never build a house. No se'ishi, he'll never get married. He'll never take care of himself. And he says, kedarkei hakemrim. He says, like the monks. Then also, that's not the world HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. But the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created by Asorah Maimoris, with 10 Maimoris. And he gave a Madrega HaKedusha, the utmost Kedusha to it, and the utmost unity to it. And man is the unifying force, where man was given a physical and a spiritual world to use in perfect harmony. That, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayara Hashem, is Kol Asherosa. He saw everything that he did. He told me, oh, this is good, very good. If it's used in balance, if it's used in perfection, then man becomes the giant. He becomes the Tzelem Elokim. He becomes the ruler of the universe. He brings the world to perfection. And on that it states, Litein Schar Tov LeTzadikim, to give reward to the Tzadikim Shemakayim Nesol, that build the world. So heaven forbid anybody should look at Olam Hazeh, this world. How could he reject this world when HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't reject it? This is nothing. The Chazal never meant that. That's what it's and the this is the this brings the world to perfection, and this brings man to perfection. And this is the ultimate, see, of this world. And this was why man was brought here. And that's what it states in the Mishnah of Obis, Yofesh Achas Be'elam Azeh Mikol Chayelam Abo. That from one aspect, this world is far greater than the next world, what man can achieve here. Therefore, when we come to approach this world, and when we come to approach who man is, what individual is, we have to look at it with great respect, great sacredness. And this is why Jews always had such a sacredness for life. In the world, Shvichas Domim is nothing. You can have a war that can kill millions, it's nothing. You can have abortions that kill millions, this is nothing. For a Jew, what life is. Life is a man is the unique pivotal point of the entire universe. I mean, if you have a world that thinks that man came from apes, so then life shouldn't be anything. But if you have a world where man is the unique giant which encompasses the entire universe, then we see what life is. And that's what the Chazal tell us, that Aved Nefesh Achas, you destroy one life, just like destroying an entire universe. Hamatzel nefesh achas. You save one life, you have saved an entire world. This gives us some insights into the creation of man, and also into with the previous shurim in the Sheish Shemei Maisa, the 6 days of creation. Yitz Hashem, we should learn the great wealth of the Chazals, of what our sages teach in this, in order that we should have greater respect for ourselves and for the time that we are given to be on this world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.